It's from the book of Proverbs, chapter 9, starting to read at verse 1. And it's to be found on page 642 of the Pew Bibles. Chapter 9, verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city, "Let all who are simple come in here." She says to those who lack judgment, "Come and eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding." This is the word of the Lord.
If you'll just turn over the Tuesday hymn sheets, you'll see a couple of notices there. A reminder to all who join us at the study breakfast to put your alarm clocks back this week, because we seem to be beginning again already tomorrow and Thursday. And then an advance warning that Chuck Colson, the founder of Christian Prison Fellowship, is coming to speak at the lunchtime service in 3 Tuesdays' time. As it says here, if you have any friends you could invite to hear a clear explanation of the Christian faith, please make the most of this opportunity. And if a muddled one will do, then make the use of this series we're starting today. We begin a new one entitled Streetwise, Wisdom for the Marketplace, from the book of Proverbs. Well, before we get into that, let's, as we sit, pray together. Our gracious God and our sovereign Lord, after a day of horrific news, we ask that what many of us have seen and heard and read might focus our minds and whet our appetites to discover the truth. And we pray that you would so teach us your word that we might see it clearly, and so work in our wills and our minds and our hearts that we obey it. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. I'm told there's a church in Cheshire which has a notice board outside, and there are 2 lines in big, bold letters, and a third one that has been added in small letters underneath, so that it reads like this: "This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. This door is locked during winter months." Well, if you knew where to look on the east door case of the old St. Helens building, you would have found on the inside those first 2 lines. "This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." I'm hoping that someone will have the courage to put on the outside of the east door in the new building verse 4 as a great text above the entranceway. "Let all who are simple come in here." And if that seems a little offensive, let me explain straight away that the word simple doesn't mean that someone has a low IQ. It isn't that they are, as people say, a sandwich short of a picnic. Or as the Aussies, I gather, put it, they have a kangaroo loose in the top paddock. No, it simply means what it goes on to explain. "Let all who are simple come in here," she says, "to those who lack judgment." It speaks and invites people who lack wisdom to come to wisdom's party. Well, "let all who are simple come in here" is the theme of the next few Tuesdays. Actually, it ought to be the theme of any place where God's word is taught. But we're following this series entitled Streetwise, and the wisdom we're looking for is not the wisdom of the streets of this city, but the wisdom of the streets of the city of God. So begin with me this Tuesday, will you, and come and have a look in at wisdom's party to which we're all invited. It was read for us by David. It was set out in those first 6 verses. Wisdom's party, you see, it is a substantial invitation. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its 7 pillars. Well, I don't know how she got that past English Heritage and the Victorian Society, but planning permission has been granted and she's got her building up. And it has got 7 pillars, it's a spacious one, there'll be room for all of us inside. And she's prepared quite a feast, her meat and mixed her wine, she's set her table. I don't know what you're used to when Christians put on a party, but there are no traces of the limp ham salad and orange squash that was the staple fare of many a church hall. Now, there's everything here from the steak to wine, and everyone, you noticed, is invited. She's sent out her maids. She calls from the highest point of the city. That is characteristic of wisdom. See, a few chapters back, she was speaking like this. Wisdom calls aloud in the street, we were told. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. There really couldn't be a more appropriate place, could there, than over the doorway of a church in the heart of a city. This wisdom, Christian wisdom, is intended for the heart of the city. Wisdom can't stay quiet. And it ought to be the concern of every Christian to invite everyone in the city to enjoy the feast that God provides. So please take a handful of the invites if it'll help, and bring along anyone you can find. We'll fit them in somewhere. I want you to notice seriously, there is nothing exclusive about this wisdom. It is not just for a few. Let all who are simple come in here. When God goes into the education business, it is comprehensive education that is on offer. Wisdom goes where people are and calls them to herself, just like Jesus did. And we've seen the invitation. Let all who are simple come in here. It's come through the post. We've opened the envelope. There it is, gold-edged, that embossed lettering. It's obviously going to be quite a do. And we read it. The directors of Wisdom International request the pleasure of the company of, and in the only place where they have to fill something in, what have they written? The simple. Now, this isn't the voice of some tub-thumping fundamentalist speaking. I do know I'm talking to educated people. I know I'm talking to many successful people. And the only invitation I've got is exactly the same one myself. Mine is addressed to the simple too. And this is the voice of God. This is actually the way that Jesus speaks to us. Jesus taught as a wisdom teacher very often. Read through the Gospels and you'll notice it. The prophet says, "Thus says the Lord." The wisdom teacher says, "Come to me." Jesus spoke that way, didn't he? "Come to me," he said. "Learn of me." When God calls us as a holy God, he addresses us as sinners. When God calls us as the sovereign Lord, he addresses us as rebels. When God calls us as wisdom, he addresses us as the simple, fools. And if we resent that kind of talk, well, listen to the proverb writer again. "Do you see a man wise in his own eyes?" he asks. There's more hope for a fool than for him. And you're very hard pushed to find much hope for a fool in the book of Proverbs. But don't mistake this invitation. It is absolutely genuine. It is open to everyone. There's a real desire that people will come, verse 5, "eat my food and drink the wine I've mixed. Leave your simple ways and you'll live. Walk in the way of understanding." And that's why she's so anxious we'll come. And of course, there's the cautionary note. I can't enjoy verse 5 without verse 6. Coming to wisdom's party will mean leaving my simple ways. It'll face me with moral choices. It'll mean I'll have to look up to a whole new framework. It may mean if I leave the simple ways, I have to leave the company I once enjoyed on them. It'll certainly involve a radical break. Wisdom's party. You see, once you throw in the sentences of verse 6, some of us, of course, are going to hesitate before we hand in our replies, aren't we? We think we might just wander down the street and see if there's any other invite on offer. Well, let me assure you, there are plenty. God isn't the only one throwing a party. Everyone's in on the act. Everyone is telling us how to become streetwise. Wise up, they say. You need to get in the know. Now, you'll find people will say it individually. Billboards plaster it. Business is never black and white, says the Financial Times. I need to read them to get in the know. The Economist, of course, has taken the best line of all. I saw one of its adverts yesterday on the big billboard. All it had was the head of British intelligence. Marvellous. But by the time you come to the end of the chapter, you'll discover that there are plenty of invitations around, for folly is having a feast as well. If we've looked at wisdom's party, we'd better look at folly's feast. Verse 13, the woman folly is loud, she's brassy, she's brash. She doesn't know anything, as a matter of fact. She's undisciplined and without knowledge, but when has that stopped her, or anyone else for that matter? She sits at the door of her house, on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. She's handing out her invites left, right, and centre. Now, we do need to remember that. When we Christians go dumb, all we're doing, as a matter of fact, is leaving the field to her. For she's handing out her invitations as fast as she can get rid of them. And have you noticed a striking thing? You will when you look at verse 16. It is exactly the same invitation. Let all who are simple come in here, she says, to those who lack judgment. Because everyone is wanting to tell us something more. It's the same invitation? Well, yes, it is. But, you see, it is true, isn't it, that verse 4 has an echo in verse 16. But verse 6 has no echo. There's no equivalent of leave your simple ways. You don't have to. There's no radical break involved if I want to go to Folly's Feast. It's a cheap party, it's easy to slip into, no turnaround is needed. But then look what's on offer, verse 17, water. So what's attractive? Our stolen. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. It's the attraction of the forbidden. The illicit, the lure of the hidden. See, do you begin to recognize Folly's Feast? It's the sensualist, isn't it, who whispers enticingly, who will ever know? It's such fun, it couldn't do any harm. Or the partygoers with their raucous shouts, oh, come on, what's one more? Everyone's doing it. Or the power brokers with their domineering insistence, if you want to get on, you've got to. Now, we can't possibly go through a city career, I imagine, without hearing that voice time and time and time again. You don't have to be around for too long to recognize it. It's Satan's voice of call, of course. It's a throwback to the Garden of Eden, isn't it? When that snake took something and substituted something else for it. You won't surely die, he hissed to Eve. For God knows that when you eat the fruit, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. See, he takes our deepest longings and then he just twists them and offers a pale substitute. It's why you'll have seen many a picture of David Koresh with an open Bible. It is so nearly the truth, so wickedly far from it. And where does Folly's Feast land up? Where almost everyone in the Waco compound ended up. Verse 18, little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. But whoever went into the compound thinking that's where they were heading for? I heard a relative of one of those presumed dead speaking this morning. explaining why, I think it was a cousin, had first got involved. He was a nice fellow, he said. He was just looking for something. He didn't know what he was looking for. Obviously, he didn't find it there. Well, that's an understatement. You see, if someone had a surplus supply of those blue plaques they put on houses when famous people have been there, just imagine who they could write on it as people who've been to Folly's Feast. David Koresh dined here. Robert Maxwell dined here. They won't put him up because half the office are dining here. It's the tragedy of Folly's Feast. Wisdom's Party, Folly's Feast. Let me leave you with the thrust we're going to have to face up to all the way through this series. The question, if you like, which will keep on coming back to us. In the words of those old two-liner jokes, it starts like this. Are you wise or are you foolish? That's the great thrust of the book of Proverbs. At least it goes on pointing out that we're one of those two, and it urges us to be wise. I can't just back off in the light of Waco. And I say, well, I think I'm going to have nothing to do with God at all. That's the sensible thing to do, is it? Is it really the wise course, or is that just another of Dame Folly's invitations? Are you wise, or are you foolish? Now, it matters, doesn't it? I mean, last night's picture showed us that. So let me put it another way, because I think sometimes we don't find it very easy to know what's meant by wise or foolish, or particularly to put ourselves under the microscope and know if we are. Let me put it another way. Not so much am I wise or am I foolish, but am I humble? Can I take correction? Am I wise or am I foolish? Well, the writer of Proverbs says, rebuke me and see how I react. Look at verse 7. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. It's a waste of breath. The further I go with folly, the less I'll take of criticism and correction. Because the mocker is unteachable. He or she is too busy debunking the views and beliefs of others ever to listen. I heard David Koresh's ex-wife on the television this morning. She was describing him and she said he was so stubborn. He doesn't listen to anybody. Now that's the fool. But look how verse 8 finishes. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. See, the further I go with wisdom, the more I'll take of criticism and correction. Now, am I wise or am I foolish? Am I humble enough to be corrected? See, the difference between the foolish person and the wise person is not that one makes a mistake and the other doesn't. You notice here that it's presumed that both have gone wrong. The difference is that one longs to be put right and the other will never listen. Now, the Word of God, the Bible, it's given to us to be an encouragement to us, to be a comfort to us, but also to rebuke and to correct. If I can come to church week after week, Tuesday after Tuesday, without being convicted, without God's finger being put on one area or another of my life, well then either I'm not hearing the word of God or I'm stone deaf. And when God's finger is put on some area or other of my life, how I react at that time is vital. It'll tell me whether I'm wise or foolish. And I never grow out of it. It goes on and on. Look at verse 9. Instruct a wise man, and he'll be wiser still. You can go on correcting wise people, they just get wiser. They never know too much. Teach a righteous man, and he'll add to his learning. They just know that there's more to learn. And you see how the wise man is the righteous man. I can't sit at wisdom's table unless I'm ready to listen to reproof. Unless I'll take some uncomfortable truths. Unless I'll change some well-grooved habits. Are you wise or are you foolish? Let's put it this way. Am I humble? Am I teachable? Or if you want another question, am I spiritual? Look at verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, please don't misunderstand that phrase, the beginning of wisdom. He's not suggesting that the fear of the Lord is the first requirement before we move on. It's not as if the fear of the Lord is like getting a GCSE. You know, I mean, I suppose one gives a little pat on the back for that, but there are harder tests ahead. There's deeper secrets to progress to. No, what he's saying is, if I don't have the fear of the Lord, I haven't even begun on the road to wisdom. The fear of the Lord, this is wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. In other words, I can't be wise if I don't know God. I can't have the wisdom that's being spoken of here, the wisdom that brings true life, if I don't know God. That's quite a shattering thought, isn't it? I wonder how many of us are the fountain of wisdom back at the office, but actually we're at the wrong party. We're still at fool's feast. And you see, this wisdom that we're going to be exploring and discovering in this series, it's not going to lead to us, if we're starting off in Folly's Feast, just with having to brush up in one or two areas. You know, there's always room for improvement. Now, it is going to mean a whole new framework. Lee is a student at college. He's someone I got to know recently. And when he set off and went up to college, he decided to do the wise thing and work out how to make the most of college life. So he put down on a piece of paper all the things he wanted out of college life. He put his name in the center and then he went round them. There was his work, there was his social life, there were friends, there were hobbies, there was sport, there was music. He even included Christianity in the list. When he got round to it and began to study it and explore it, he realized that he was going to have to put God where he got himself, right in the center. If he was going to really live. The fear of the Lord is treating God as God. Then let's live in some fool's paradise where we think we can have bits and pieces of Christian values and morality without bothering with God himself. Are you wise or are you foolish? Well, am I spiritual? Do I treat God as God? Do I treat Jesus as Lord? I ask that question because when God finally gives us wisdom, he did so by giving us Christ himself. Remember that striking story that Jesus told? Everyone who hears these words of mine, Jesus said, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Well, the stakes are high. One party leads to life, the other to the grave. This education really is your life. Let's pray that we have this street wisdom. Let all who are simple come in here. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would give us grace to see ourselves as those who lack wisdom, and grace to repent and leave our simple ways and live. Teach us your wisdom, we pray. Amen.